Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is BPM Security and LDAP, Concepts and Troubleshooting. Today's presenters are Sridhar Edam and Al Wong. Sridhar has been a longtime support engineer with IBM with primary focus on architecture, administration, API, modeling related issues of BPM, WPS, and business monitor. Al joined AIM L2 support in March 2009. He has supported WebSphere Integration Developer, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, and is currently a Business Process Manager Security Subject Matter Expert. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Sridhar. You may begin.
Thanks, David. Hi, my name is Sridhar, and I'm part of the BPM Level 2 Support Engineer Organization, and I'm here with along with our with my colleague Al Wang, and we'll primarily focus on the BPM security with LDAP. We'll focus on the concepts and troubleshooting. Moving on to slide number 2, the agenda for this presentation is a very brief introduction of the BPM security. With LDAP. We'll talk a little bit about the security providers that BPM supports, the user and the group tables that are a part of BPM that stores information for this the users and groups within BPM. We will also talk a little bit about the entity type mapping. Then we'll go on to the BPM user cache configurations there. Also, we'll talk a little more on the configuration files that are that the BPM security touches in most cases. Then we'll move on to like the kind of troubleshooting in terms of the some of the common problems that we have seen at L2 and some possible solutions there. Also, we'll cover the must gather for situations that arise, the problems that arise with BPM security. Then we'll move on to the references and we'll take any questions later on. Moving on to slide number 3. So for introduction, BPM basically integrates with user repositories, which enables utilizing the existing organizational structure to facilitate its human workflow processing. Since BPM being one of the BPM being a human-centric workflow engine, also it integrates with LDAP to utilize any the existing organizational structure that's already present in LDAP and use its use the organization structure for its routing of the human tasks. So basically, we'll in this presentation, we'll focus on the some of the concepts that we see in this integrations, the scenarios we have faced at L2, and also troubleshooting such when facing such issues there with the integration. Moving on to slide number 4. There are BPM when BPM is installed as a standalone, it comes with two repositories. One is the file based repository and the BPM internal security provider. So in this slide, we have three different security providers that are shown here. One is the file base, the default file based repository. That's where the WebSphere default users and groups are stored. That's part of WebSphere installation. Then we have a user repository, which is the LDAP based based repository. This actually doesn't a default installation of BPM doesn't come with such a user repository. Once the end user decide to use the LDAP, it needs to be added to the BPM installation, And that's when the LDAP gets integrated into BPM installations, BPM profiles. The third one that actually is the BPM internal security providers. This is what we call as the TW users and groups here. So it's an internal repository that's basically used for a standard testing for like in a standalone environment and things like that. All the users, the internal users, the when an internal security provider is used, all the security, the users and groups are stored in the database. So that's for the standalone. There is one difference I would like to mention. In a network deployment environment, we do not use or the internal security provider is not enabled. It doesn't come with as a default as in an ND environment. That's part of the design of BPM. So the screenshot actually, so we in the screenshot we did show that all the three providers are mentioned here, and we added one of our own LDAP integration here. So we see the second entry as an LDAP entry here. Moving on to slide number 5. So we talked about the tables. So there are 5 main tables that store this the info regarding on the users and groups that the BPM has visibility of. And in this slide, we try to list all these 5 tables and then the importance of each of these tables. The very first one is the LSW user. This actually stores all the default users. As I mentioned, the TW users that come as a default with any standalone installation are stored in this table. Also, the other users that are apart from the default users in a standalone environment, a user can create his own local users. We call this the local users from the process admin console. And when that's created from the process admin console, the users get added into the LSW user table. I wanted to, since we have brought up the process admin, the difference in an ND environment is you would not be able to add local users through process admin in an ND environment. That's actually disabled. The second table is the LSW user XF table. This table stores all available and historical users for BPM. So when a user, for example, searches, this table gets populated actually when based on a user action. For example, if a particular user is searched from process admin, or a user gets or a user logs into one of our consoles like the portal process portal, or if in the process admin if you search on a particular group or you look up a group, you click on that group to view its members, this table gets populated. Moving on to the next table, which is the LSW user group XF table. This table is also the important one for this one for our presentation, as this is where all the LDAP groups or the ad hoc groups get populated. This also actually contains the participant groups as well. I mean, if when a BPD is designed, we use participant groups for routing tasks and other things. So when such a action is done, the LSW user group XREF table also gets populated. The next, so that's the main table basically, because the user group XREF is the one which when a server starts and when the when BPM tries to pull in all the groups that, are available to it, or sees which groups are modified or any changes are done to the group, those all those information gets stored in the user group XREF table. The next table is the LSW user group memXREF, which this is the table which defines the relationship between the user and group. And in the runtime, when the relationship is required between a group and user is required, this is the table that it refers to. The other table is the LSW group mem XREF table, which actually defines the hierarchy of the group. So another concept that we want to talk about is when does the group table gets populated? There are actually three scenarios that trigger a group table getting populated. One is during the server startup. That's when it looks up for any details of the existing groups or any new groups that it wants to populate. The second scenario is during a manual sync. And the third one, probably a little less known, is the system components requesting a JMS cache reset. It's an internal thing here. So the next part of that one, we kind of provided a screenshot here. Like during right after the startup, it actually looks for a group and checks whether there are new updates and things like that. That's what you see where group alt group is being checked for new updates. All these changes, as I specified, that's when the these tables get populated as well. Also, during the portal login, you'll see a session being being logged for that particular session being opened for that particular user, and that's the user gets logged into the user XREF tables. Moving on to slide number 6. Since we have talked about the security tables, we thought of putting in the screenshots of some of these tables and what the schema looks like, what fields are being used in these tables. The LSW user table has its primary key as the user ID. And that's the primary key which it's used all along, and most of the operations mainly dependent on the user ID. So the username, password fields, the full name, if the user is disabled or not, last login and old passwords. So it also. Old password is like one of the fields which, it stores the password from the previous attempts and stuff. This sometimes is kind of useful when user gets logged out or things like that. The previous password can be used in such scenarios. Pretty rare, but that's one of the scenarios we have seen. The user LSW user XREF table. It does have the user ID, the username, full name, provider, although provider is not much used here in this case. So the LSW user XREF table, that has, as I talked about, it also it has the group ID, which is the primary key. It also has the parent group ID, the group type, and the group state. A special mention for the group state because the organization and the groups always change. So we kind of track it in the group state field here with group state has two fields. One is the zero and two values basically. One is zero and one is one. Zero signifying whether the group is active or not, and one specifying whether the group is deleted from the LDAP. Moving on to slide number 7. This is another slide that actually shows the rest of the two tables, which is the LSW user group mem extref, which has the relationship and the LSW group mem extref. Right, so that's slide number 7. Moving on to slide number 8. So we wanted to talk a little bit on the BPM user cache as to when does the user get cached into BPM. The user gets cached into BPM during in three different scenarios here. One is during the full sync. Then the second is login to one of the consoles like the process portals or through an API. The third is through the process admin search. So when you search for a particular user, that's also when the BPM user gets cached. There are different scenarios where due to different limitations and stuff, a user might not be known to be BPM, and that's when the routing of a task is errored out. So we kind of that's another scenario. And in the screenshot here, we actually showed where when you click on a group and then add a user or group, that's another screenshot that we have it here. Moving on to slide number 9. Okay, so I think at this point we did talk more on the database side and some basic concepts and how the relationships in the database are maintained. We haven't talked much about the WAS level, and I would like to, at this point, hand it over to Al, who will cover the next section.
Hi, this is Al. Thank you for Shader. So on this slide, so now we want to discuss a few interesting items on the WAS setting. So this is so on WAS configuration side, where we are configuring the LDAP, there are a few thing we want to pay additional attention to. So first is the entity type matching. So first screenshot explains the entity types on WAS. They are linked to the object classes on the LDAP. So this is important because some environment may use their unique object classes instead of using the default ones for certain LDAP. So for example, that we have so you can see the top screen, there's the group for the WAS, and it matches into object class of the group. So there are cases we've seen that if a group is not being pulled into the BPM, there's some chances that this group matching is not configured correctly. So in IBM, we provide a WAS LDAP search utility tool that can be used to query and print a complete attribute of a user and group. So a user can examine, see if the object class is matching to avoid this situation. So the bottom screen is basically the output of that utility. And you can just observe the object classes. Okay, and moving on to slide 10. So we also recommend the customer to set up LDAP filters on WAS to improve the performance. So usually, most cases we've seen customer are not used like all the groups available in LDAP in BPM. So in such cases, you can set filters. So basically, it's a cleaner way to manage BPM groups, and also it keeps the performance up. So it keeps the performance up by, pulling in less group numbers during the startup or you know, the startup sync and also the, you know, the startup and also the manual sync. So this two screenshots shows a couple of filter samples. One is for the group and one is for the user. And also you can go to the top link that we provided over there and to learn more about this, how to set this filter. Okay, and moving on to slide 11. Okay, so those settings, after you download settings, they're actually stored somewhere. So these are the two main XML files that store those settings. So on the top, the security XML, it obviously stores WAS level security information. So here, here for the for this presentation, the value we care about is the active user registry value. Yeah. So basically, that tells you which registry is being used for the WAS environment. So in here, we have by default we use a WIM registry, which is the federated repository. So the second screen, the second picture is the WIM config. So after you point it to the WIM that is being used by the WAS, and rest of the setting inside WIM is stored in the WIM config XML. So this has, so this picture, this screenshot has a single LDAP entry, single LDAP configuration. It has like the all the configuration, also the LDAP search filters all stored in this file. So these two files are important is because they are the actual value that are being used by the environment. So during the debugging, instead of going to the WAS console interface, you can actually examine these two files to see that what's the actual file being used, actual value being used. Okay, so let's move on to slide 12. Okay, so here's the RC XML. So this file grants the administrative roles for WAS. So in BPM, certain operations such as deployment requires some of the WAS roles. So the last entry in screenshots shows a user from LDAP that being added with to have some admin roles. So on the admin console, so in this case, you see the last entry, it has the complete, basically, email. The reason for that is we config email being the login name. But in certain cases, if the LDAP is configured to use like a CN or a UID as the login, it will only show like the without the first part, basically the beginning part without the domain part. So we have seen, so why is that important? So we have seen customers, for some reason, the switching of the LDAP is needed. So basically, you have two LDAPs switching from one to another, and both LDAP may contain the same user, even the same password for those users, but it's different domain. So after the switch, the user can still log on to all the BPM consoles, but when they are in the process designer, they notice that the connection indicator on the bottom become red. The reason for that is within this XML file, for those added entries, it will actually have the individual repository information connected to the entry. So it doesn't get refreshed when you switch the LDAP. So the recommendation is basically after you've done LDAP switching, you go back to this environment and remove, actually basically examine which ones were added from the previous LDAP and remove them and add the new rules into this. So basically that should resolve the issue. Okay, let's move on to slide 13. Okay, so here are the common problems and solutions. Let me turn it back to Sridhar.
Yeah, I'd like to cover the couple of scenarios here before I hand it over to Al. One is, as Al talked about, there are scenarios where we have seen the customer seeing a red light at the bottom of the process designer for a particular app. one of the things that happens in the backdrop of opening up a process app in Process Designer is that it initiates a deployment of that particular app into the Process Center. When that happens, when it's opened, it tries, and if that process app, for some reason, without the knowledge of the customer also, has advanced content, then it that requires the WAS administrative user roles. So if that that permission is not present, then you'll see a red light in that case. And this is also goes back to the point where switching of LDAP comes into picture here, because the user that's added in the admin console looks exactly the same, but underneath in the admin or z.xml, it has the connection name and the server name, the domain of the LDAP it's using, and that's not seen on the admin console, but it's actually present in the admin or z.xml. And once the switching is done, this does not get updated automatically. So you would have to probably you probably need to remove that existing user or group for that matter, and then re-add it, which actually refreshes and gets the newer information from the newer LDAP, and that should probably resolve the issue. So once I also talked about a customer not knowing that there's advanced content in the BPD. This is the reason I say that was for any particular reason you have a standard BPM, and someone tries to open up that particular app in an integration designer, it actually adds advanced content flag, or it's flagged as advanced content. So it'll create assets, the shared libraries, it deploys the assets, the libraries, and the other things, the BLAs that are part of the advanced content for BPM. So that's one scenario that we want to highlight in this case. So the second issue that I want to talk about, the BPM does allow more than one repository to be added as its user repository. As a default, as I said, there's a file-based repository, and in standalone, there's an internal security provider as well. And if we add LDAP also, that's another repository that it already has. So in cases, user is not able to log into process admin console, process, or even for that matter, to the WAS admin console. This is because the user probably is a file-based repository user, but he still is not able to log in. So that's a tricky situation. One of the reasons that we have seen in such cases, or probably seen in many cases, is that if the LDAP connection for some reason is lost, or LDAP is timing out, it's not able to, or the repository is down, then the user is not able to log in. So WAS provides a WSAdmin command a flag where you can run that in such cases where you can allow the other operations, the other security operations that are required for WAS to come up. When the repository is down, are continued. So when you turn that flag on, as the info center link that I've pasted in this particular slide, it will allow you to authenticate with other repositories if that user is present
and in the other repository and is and has the correct password and things like that. That's the first of scenarios, and I will hand it back over to Al.
Okay, so for the let's look at the next scenario. So switching logging attribute may result new user generated on the LSW user extract table. Okay, so we've seen cases where a customer they want to change that logging attribute. So what it means is basically BPM on one of the tables that Shader covers, the user extract table, it only records the logging login attribute that we configured. So some instances customer they may want to use a UID to log in, and after a while they want to switch to another attribute in that user in the user entry. It could be another ID that cooperator used. So after this change, actually what happened is BPM only recognized the other attribute. So when the same user logging using the other attribute, another user entry will be generated. So what happened is the task which assigned to original user, they become like an orphan task. No user will be able to access it anymore. So this is expected. So we recommend it. It's not like we don't, if you want to change, it's better to plan the user login attribute first before the production. So after the production, you change this field, you will see this behavior. Okay, and the next one, process main does not show groups from LDAP after configuration. Okay, so what happened in certain cases we observe from customer is that the LDAP will actually, in the beginning of the synchronization, BPM will actually send a query with just the start to LDAP to basically get all the group that it's able to see under the filter. So if certain cases LDAP is configured not accepting the wildcard character, so it will just not return anything, and you will see in the system out that LDAP has timeout. So basically that's design of BPM. In the initial starting stage, we will send a query, a start query to the LDAP to get all the groups. So for the next one, the Active Directory may have default value of maximum search result. Okay. Also, we've seen some cases in the customer using Active Directory, because Active Directory, I think by default there is a certain value. I believe it's a 1500. So if you have more group than 1500 under the filter that BPM can see, so you will see an error in system out, and also on the LDAP, I believe you will see some error as well, because it just exceeds the maximum value. So we attach a tech note of how you can change or modify the value on the LDAP side to basically return more than the default value or the set value. Okay, so moving on to the slide 14. Thank you. So this one, error during startup, and you see there's a 4500 maximum search limit. So this error is actually, you see this error in BPM system out. So winconfig has a maximum search result. It's similar to the one, but the previous one we discussed, but this one is actually set on BPM on the winconfig side. So what happened is if the return search result is more than 4500, you see an error, and that you don't get all the groups pulled into BPM. So what we recommend, there are two solutions for this. One is you change the maximum search result value in winconfig, but that means you're actually bringing that many groups. So we also recommend using the search filter to limit the number that you can see accessed by BPM. So the next item is, okay, so you see that exception get thrown during the group replication. Okay, so some cases customer may have more than one LDAP, and also one LDAP may have the group with the same name existing on different levels, like different tree level. So when this happens, you see this exception getting formed. So the resolution, actually, you can review the tech node that we attach on this presentation. There are a few. There's a fix that you can install, and it will actually mark several the duplicate groups. But yeah, you can go into detail to the tech node. So the next one, JS API. Okay, find user by name. So MPE. Oh, okay. This in some JavaScript that customer uses in the BPM, trying to find a user object using this function. It throws MPE, but the user is actually in LDAP. So what happened is this user has never logged into the BPM, so BPM does not have this user entry on the user extract table. So basically, it would just throw a null pointer exception in the log. And so this link that we included here, it's a fix for the 7.5.1 level. And after you install that fix, it will actually go out. If it on the BPM, what it does is actually look on the XREF table and it doesn't see the user, so it will actually go on to the repository to see if it can find this user. So basically on the user sync, this will bring the user that BPM doesn't know, but it's supposed to when it's on the LDAP. Okay, and then the next one is adding new user to LDAP. So we also seen this problem very common that when a user is added to LDAP, but it's not visible to BPM, they can still not log in. So sometimes customer has set the filters for the user already, and it's just not within the filter. And the LDAP group name longer than 255 character will result in SQL error. Okay, so I think in one of the slides that Shader has covered, it shows the database table for the groups. The maximum characters for group name is 255 characters. So that's the design of BPM. If you have more than that, we recommend you to either use filter to filter out this group or basically change the name to less than 255 characters. Okay, the last item show on this page is the LDAP search utility tool. It's like we mentioned, it's a neat utility tool. It's very lightweight. You can just, it's a command line tool. You can just enter the connection value and also the search criteria, quickly get a result of a certain entries. You can just observe and you know, do your setting accordingly. Okay, slide 15. Okay, so for support, I guess there's a lot of customer on the call. So when you need to engage BPM, we recommend it to collect this trace and also the configuration tree in the profile of the DMGR. So, and also the extract table that Shader has covered. So this will basically help us to quickly narrow down or understand the whole complete issue. It has the trace, it covers WAS security, also the WIM input output, you know, when it's actually talking to the LDAP, and also the BPM security behavior. So this is just information for when you need to engage the support team. Slide 16, please. Okay, here are some references for detail of this presentation. For you to review. And next slide 17. So the summary of this presentation, so basically we have covered the different repository supported by BPM and also understanding the configuration file and its relation and also the database table used by BPM, which helps to narrow down the issue. So we also cover using the LDAP filter you know, to organize BPM group and user to improve the performance, also get rid of some of the errors that we usually see. Also, key item to be looked at when switching LDAP, which is the min auth XML. And also we cover some common known problems and solutions to those problems. Let's go to slide 18. And here are some additional WebShare product resources. Let me turn it back to David Long and for the remaining of the session. David?
Thank you, Alan Schroeder, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, I'm showing no questions on the phone lines.
Thank you. We do have one question in the group chat, and I'll try to read it to you. It says, BPM in the hierarchy of groups created in the process admin portal allows a task sees all users of the hierarchy. You can also see the hierarchy of LDAP groups in BPM2 and see all users of this LDAP hierarchy. I think they're asking if you can also see the hierarchy. If you can also see all users of this LDAP hierarchy.
Yeah, I think in one of the screenshots that we provided in the presentation, I think there's a, you can, in process admin, you can search on LDAP group. By the way, this is L. And when you click on the group, on the right-hand side, you should be able to see the content of the LDAP, that group, and see the, you know, the user contained in that group.
Thank you. I would like to remind everybody that if you need to ask a question, their email addresses are on the first slide of this presentation. Okay, and then there's another question. We get inconsistent results from user is in participant group. Even when user is in part of group, is part of the group, it returns false. Where can we troubleshoot?
For that, let's see. Inconsistent result. Well, so first of all, in the participant group itself should exist in the one of the table that Schroeder has presented. So you can trace that, and also there is a group extract table which shows the relationship between the groups to see if there is a, you know, correct link to the user. So basically, BPM recognizes there is a the user is in certain group, but with this links in the database. So that should give you a view to see if BPM actually knows about if this user are in a certain group. So basically, again, it's a, there are two tables that are showing the link of group and group, and also group and user. Those are, I think, Schroeder shows that in the presentation. So those are the two tables that only has two fields. So they are actually how the, you know, relationships are constructed. So you can start from there and to see that the link actually exists.
As Al said, I mean, it depends on how the, I mean, whether the startup has brought in all the information and whether it's persisted or not. So the must gather, right? I think that's when that's where we'll get most of the information. Like the user, the tables does give us the relationship. That's one thing, but the security trace. When it's turned on, it does provide all the it logs in all the statements as to when you do this call, this API call, what happens in the background. We'll know a little bit more. I think that's so basically the tracing and the information in the tables that just Al talked about. I think those two will give a little more information.
as to what's happening in the background, as to why you're getting inconsistent results.
All right, thank you. And here's another question that came to the Q&A group that I'm putting up for you. With LDAP users, we do not get the person's full name with the user sync process. Defect, or is there a setting to ensure the LDAP full name is pulled in?
I think we'll have to check with our team here. It might be a defect or not. And this is, I think, one of the known scenarios, just that we do not have that information right now. But if we have the contact information, we'll try to get back to you on that one.
Okay. I don't see any more questions in the group chat. Catherine, are there any more questions on the phone?
At this time, it does look like we do have one question coming through. The name is Bapsala. Your line is open.
Yes. And my name is Balu. I have one question related to old password. Where do we have an option to reset or reuse a old password in the current admin, process admin, or anywhere?
There is nothing on the process admin or anything like that. The only reason we mentioned is in extreme cases where it's logged out or changes, things like that. Where we had to use that particular table, but I think I would say you would probably need to use the help of support in such cases, because you'll be dealing with the database tables at that time.
Okay.
So, right. I mean,
I do see we don't have option to reset or reuse old password from the process admin or portal anywhere.
True. That's true. That's absolutely
yes.
True. And we can check with our development if that's something that needs to put into the product. Or,
yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Things like that. Thank you.
At this time, there are no other questions on the phone lines.
So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Sridhar and Al, for presenting today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today's call is concluded. Participants may disconnect.